This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Glad you're here today. It is our 5 o'clock happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where I want you to think about, oh my gosh, we got so much great stuff coming up, right? You got Mother's Day coming up, you got Memorial Day coming up, and summer vacation coming up as well. And we'll be there June 20th for our next live show. So I want you to do today, make your reservation. Go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful summer, and I'm excited. So as you know, we have a new pope. He's American, first American pope in history. We'll get into some more details about the new pope today. But he's a Villanova graduate. So it's a big deal, and it's great for America, I think. It's great for the president's very happy, and the vice president's very happy. I'm just happy that we finally got an American pope. I didn't think we were ever going to get an American pope. I really didn't. I just was of the mindset that, I don't know, probably won't ever happen. But it got done today. And since he's local and you probably have family or friends that went to Villanova, you're going to hear a lot of bragging by them over the next few days. A lot of bragging by them over the next few days about the fact that Villanova now has a claim for a pope, which is pretty incredible if you think about it. Not the kind of thing that we really ever would have thought of. But happening. But as far as his politics go, I'll get into some more details with you on that. We had a great interview in the 4 o'clock hour with a priest who feels very confident about the Pope and what the Pope's going to do. So let's talk about the economy. We could also get his opinion on the Pope with Dr. E.J. Antoni, research fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Grover M. Herman Center for the Federal Budget. He's on X at Real E.J. Antoni. E.J., my man, what's going on?
Oh, Rich, this is just, what an America first day. Can you believe it? This is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it is major, major points on the board, bragging rights for the United States of America to say we got the Pope. It's a big deal. You're a Catholic, so, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and look, I have a feeling that I agree. I didn't hear it, but I have a feeling I agree with what the priest you mentioned said, because, look, the papacy changes a man. I'm a firm believer in that, and we've seen that throughout history at different points in time. So I would not be surprised at all if we get a much more, I don't want to say conservative, because that's such a politically charged word, even traditional, but maybe orthodox. If we get a much more orthodox term, if you will, out of this pope than we had with Francis.
The Villanova people are just obnoxious, though. The latest meme that I got is one school with a national championship and a pope, with a picture of the pope and the Villanova basketball team holding up the national championship trophy. So, I mean, this is going to be painful for a little while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I would just like to point out that now that there is a Pope from Villanova, you know, this is probably the first Catholic thing Villanova has ever produced.
There you go. All right, let's talk about the trade deal today and what happened, the announcement between the United States and the UK, Dr. E.J. Antonio. So the market liked it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, the market hates the idea of tariffs. They especially hate uncertainty around tariffs. And the reason for that is tariffs are taxes. They're taxes on imports, right? And we've talked before about why you can use tariffs in a strategic context and why there can be a lot of good done through the use of tariffs, especially as a threat. But what markets would really love to see is what Trump is after here, and that's this. Get to a place where not only do we not have to substantively raise tariffs, but that we can get other places around the world to reduce theirs. That's the prize. That's what we're after. We want exactly what we saw in this deal with the UK, where American consumers are still going to have access to products produced in the United Kingdom, but now you're going to see an increase in the number of American exporters who can send their products abroad, whether that's the farmer or the factory worker. You know, this is going to increase our ability to sell everything from beef to ethanol to heavy machinery in the United Kingdom. This really is a win for America. And this isn't even about politics. This has nothing to do with whether you like Trump or dislike Trump. It is simply a good thing that the American worker has an increased ability to compete on the world stage. This is going to not only increase the demand for American exports, but it's going to increase the demand for American workers. And it's also going to increase the wage growth of those workers. Again, this is a huge win, and it encourages other nations to fall in line and to make trade deals of their own with America.
Yeah. Now, you know, EJ, I was thinking about the agricultural aspect of this and how the UK market was not fair to say, cattle ranchers, for example, and beef. And those trade barriers go away with this now. It really seems like America got the better end of the deal, though, because there's still a 10% tariff on the UK. But I mean, is that something that is going to be passed on to the consumer so that, because that's the biggest criticism you hear about tariffs, right? That ultimately it's a tax, we pay it. So if there's still a 10% tariff on the UK, is that coming back on us?
Rich, it's going to depend on the product. Overall, probably only about one-tenth is going to end up getting passed through on average to the American consumer. So one-tenth of 10% is only going to be 1% for those of you playing along at home. So what's essentially going to happen here are those products where there is stiff competition from other sources, whether that's stuff produced domestically here in America or stuff produced in other nations other than the UK, those are going to be instances where the United Kingdom can't, their producers cannot pass along the cost of the tariff, because doing so would price them at a uncompetitive point. And that means they're going to have to just eat that cost. However, in other instances, again, probably about less than one-tenth of the time, you're going to have some producers that do have that pricing power that can pass along the full cost of the tariff. And a very quick and easy kind of mental test for those folks who say that all of it's going to get passed on to the American consumer. I have to ask you, if these UK producers can simply raise their prices at will, then why didn't they do so to begin with? I mean, that just makes no sense, right? If the profit maximizing price was higher to begin with, then they would have already had their price higher, but they didn't, because again, they're competing with other nations around the world, with other producers, other companies around the world.
What does this mean for China? I mean, obviously, you know, the biggest criticism you can argue about this entire tariff thing was maybe it would have been better to make deals with countries and then kind of have everybody unite and go after China together, right? But hey, look, it is what it is, and we're here now. We have our first big trade deal, so this is a good day, and I'm very excited about it. It makes me very, very happy. And the president said, look, just like 30, 40 other countries we're talking to, we're going to have more deals announced. What does all this mean, though, in terms of getting China to the table? And then what do we need to see from China?
So But I got to tell you, Rich, I was not expecting the UK to be first. Everything I was hearing from folks in the admin, it sounded like we were making the most progress on India. But that's all been delayed for the last like week or so. And I think that's because they are essentially on the verge of going into an all out war with their neighbor, Pakistan. And heaven forbid that happens. Right. We all need to seriously pray that doesn't happen. That'd be horrific. You know, not only because of you're talking about two large, relatively well armed forces, but those nations also are both nuclear. So we really don't want to see that conflict go hot. But whatever the case, you know, now that you have the UK, it puts more pressure on every other nation in the world to get a trade deal done, because the nations that come to the table first that are clearly acting in good faith are going to get the best deal. And the nations that wait until the end are going to get the worst terms. Why? Because right now the maximum amount of pressure on the U.S. is under the current circumstances where you have few to no trade deals done. But once you have trade deals done, that means that if you do have a long drawn out trade war with who's ever left, it's a minimal amount of U.S. imports. It's not much of what we're producing. So even if you do have a large portion of the cost passed on to the American consumer, even if you do have international trade decreasing, you're talking about those things happening at relatively low rates or relatively low volumes. That means it's not going to be a lot of pain for Americans. So the time to negotiate is not at that point. You have no leverage then against the United States. The time to negotiate is right now. And it looks like, you know, again, we're probably very close with India. We're probably very close with, I think, Japan as well. I would anticipate other nations in the Pacific like Vietnam, Korea, and even Australia are going to be soon thereafter.
Now, there's an article I read the other day. It's something like the GDP is a real warning for us, and we should take that very, very seriously. What are your thoughts on that?
I would say that's people who don't understand how these numbers are calculated. You know, we had a huge surge in imports because people were essentially trying to front run the tariffs, right? They were trying to get stuff into the country before it could get hit with these import taxes. And that caused a massive increase in imports, but imports subtract from GDP. GDP is trying to measure everything that we're producing domestically. But how do you measure that? Well, that's a difficult thing to calculate. So the way GDP does it is they essentially calculate everything we're spending money on, but they're trying to only see what we're spending money on here. In other words, you're importing stuff from abroad, so you have to subtract that out. But it actually gets added back in elsewhere in the equation. For example, if a business, let's say they buy some studio equipment for your radio show, Rich, and let's say they buy it from Germany. They buy a German microphone, German headset, a German monitor. All of that gets subtracted from GDP, but it shows up as an increase in business inventory, which means the investment category increases by the same amount. In other words, it's a net zero. The problem is that when we had this massive surge in imports, what it did is it caused everything coming into the border to get calculated right away. But there's sometimes a lag where not everything gets counted in business inventory or in business equipment. Sometimes it doesn't even get calculated in consumption right away. That means that the personal consumption numbers, the consumer spending numbers, as well as the investment numbers were artificially low. And those numbers will eventually show up in the second quarter and in the third quarter. This is a bit of a long-winded way of saying some of what will show up as growth in coming quarters actually already happened. And if you look at the category of GDP, where we get rid of government, we get rid of international trade, we just look at consumption and investment spending, that rose at like a 3% rate. That's a very healthy number. So again, I have zero concerns really with the long-run outlook in terms of GDP.
Dr. E.J. Antoni, I appreciate it, my friend. Follow him on X, accept no substitutes, real E.J. Antoni. Thanks, my man.
Thank you, Rich.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Scioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, so, The View. This is let's understand something about Joe Biden. Okay, he's always had a massive ego, gigantic ego, and everybody that knows Joe Biden very well knows he's a nasty SOB too, stubborn SOB. Go back a little bit in time for before he dropped out of the race. You remember people were betting, telling me I was wrong. They said, Scioli, you're wrong. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. You're wrong. I made the prediction he would not be the candidate in October of 2023. It's when I first made my prediction. And people told me I was crazy. And after the debate, I told you. Before the debate, I said the debate was a setup. I said that on Fox News. Then after the debate, I said, Biden is toast. He's done. People said I was crazy. He's not going anywhere. He's a stubborn Irishman. He's not going anywhere, they said. And I said, he's not going to be the candidate. He's not going to be the candidate. And sure enough, he wasn't the candidate. But you realize the only reason he got out of the race was because of the fact that they had the Hunter Biden laptop and they were able to push him out of the race by threatening to expose his corruption and destroy his legacy. So they said to him, you can get to keep all your money. Because money matters a lot to this guy. You know, he's made his money by being a corrupt SOB, using his son to make money off the Ukraine portfolio, of which he was vice president and oversaw. And that's what the laptop showed us, along with making money in China and Russia and, you know, the lesser corrupt country of Romania. He didn't want to lose any of that. You know, they were like, well, you know, you never know. The IRS could come after that money. You could face prosecution. Imagine Trump's DOJ going after you. Or you could just leave with your legacy intact and your money intact and go pretend, fake teach at Penn, you know, get on the speaking circuit, make lots of money. But if you stay in the race, you're going to lose because we're going to destroy you and expose you as the corrupt SOB that you are. So Biden ultimately was forced out of the race. He didn't want to go. And the comment that he made earlier on The View about he's the only guy that could have beaten Trump and he still could have beat him. Well, there you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So then he undermined Kamala Harris to make sure that he'd be the only guy that can go down in history as ever beating Donald Trump. So let's cue up cut number 15 here. So Joe Biden was asked if reports that he wasn't able to do the job are accurate. And then Dr. Jill Biden has to jump in and answer for him instead. So I'm going to talk over this a little bit, Sean. I'll tell you when to stop it. But this is cut 15. Take a listen.
Yeah. Mr. President, since you left office, there have been a number of books that have come out deeply sourced from Democratic sources that claim in your final year there was a dramatic decline in your cognitive abilities in the final year of your presidency. What is your response to these allegations, or are these sources wrong?
They are wrong. There's nothing to sustain that, number one. Number two, you know, think of what we're left with. We're left with a circumstance where we had an insurrection mm-hmm. when I started. Not sense of civil war. We had a circumstance where we were in a position that the pandemic, because of the incompetence of the last outfit,
right,
end up over a million people dying.
They don't challenge
him in
anything.
A situation where we found ourselves unable to deal with a lot of just basic issues, and which I won't go into in the interest of time. And so we went to work, and we got it done. And, you know, one of the things
one of the things I think is that...
Stop it right there,
the people
please.
People who wrote those
let's understand what we just watched here, all right? So don't just keep the video up for me, Sean, and I'm going to have you go back a little bit. OK, we're going to play it like go back 30 seconds. The classic Biden issue is that he forgets what the hell he's saying. So he does this and it's amazing how he does it. He just goes, well, Well, anyway, he loses his train of thought. So he had the talking points queued up in his head. I'm going to go in there and say that I started with January 6th, the insurrection. Like, what the hell does that have to do with your presidency or the state of the country? Absolutely nothing. All right. Then he goes on about COVID and a million deaths. And yeah, I mean, he has his talking point and then he forgets. And that's when he does the, well, there's other stuff I'm not going to get into. And then, and that's Biden. Because he's lost his mind. And you saw that throughout his presidency. There were so many times he would say that. He would just start, in the middle of a sentence, he would just stop what he was talking about and just go, well, anyway, in the middle of a sentence. He'd be like, oh, I love chocolate ice cream. It's got great things. I love to put, And then sometimes he would say, well, no joke. That's it. That is the sign. So then, and Jill knows that, doctor. Dr. Jill Biden knows that, so she jumps in to save him. She jumps in to rescue him. So go ahead. You back it up there, Sean, and press play for me. Go ahead, please.
We are in a position that we, the pandemic, because of the incompetence of the last outfit,
right,
end up over a million people dying. And we're also in a situation where we found ourselves unable to deal with a lot of just basic issues, and which I won't go into in the interest of time. And so we went to work, and we got it done. And, one of the things
one of the things I think is that the people who wrote those books were not in the White House with us, mm-hmm. and they didn't see how hard Joe worked. Every single
now, pause it for me, Sean. Please just pause it and keep the video up, please. Now, let's understand. Yeah, it's a great observation, Matt. So, you got the five hosts of The View and then Dr. Joe Biden. So, they're all there to help Joe Biden. Nobody's there to challenge him. This is a softball of softball interviews. You get to say whatever you want. This is just like when they had Kamala Harris on. And they were like, is there anything you would do different? She was like, nothing comes to mind. It's the softballest of softball interviews. And there you've got the president, the former president's wife, helping him get through this. And all the hosts on The View are helping him get through this. And now we get into this idea that he was totally fine to do the job. So after forgetting what he was saying, after literally stopping mid-thought, mid-sentence, because he forgot what he was going to say and just does the old, well, anyway, and has no idea what comes next. So Jill has to jump in and she has to vamp and go, well, and Alyssa, if I could add to that. And then she starts to and then they start going on to these books and they're going to pretend like, oh, no. Nobody knows what they're talking about. He was fine. All these writers are making this up. They're all making this up. Go ahead. Press play.
Get up. He put in a full day, and then at night I'd be in bed, reading my book, and he was still on the phone reading his briefings, working with staff. I mean, it was nonstop. It's the White House, being president is not like a job. It's a lifestyle. It's a life that you live. You live it 24 hours a day. That phone can ring at 11 o'clock at night or 2 in the morning. It's constant. You never leave it. And Joe worked really hard. I think he was a great president. And if you look at things today...
Tough crowd.
If you
tough
look
crowd.
At things today, give me Joe Biden anytime.
I mean, how did he survive such a hostile audience? A hostile audience or a hostile panel or how did he get through that? It's a miracle. Yeah, 11 p.m. or 2 a.m. phone call. He was asleep for both. I mean, that's the thing. But he's reading things. He's talking to staff members. Yeah, there's staff members. They weren't real. They weren't there. But he was talking to them. They weren't actually in the room. But he was talking to them. He's talking to world leaders. Yeah, dead ones. Like Churchill, Truman. But he was talking to them. So, I mean, I guess she's onto something right there. But this is the great fiction of this whole thing, which is that he was always fine. He was always fine, and now people are rewriting history. Literally sitting there forgetting what he's trying to say. Forgetting what he's trying to say, and then I'm not going to get into that. Well, anyway. And then the clip that I played before where he goes into how he's the only guy that could have beaten Trump. This is the stubborn, arrogant SOB Joe Biden. He's happy Kamala Harris lost. He's thrilled. He never wanted to see her become president. I don't think she ever could have, but damn, did he do everything he could to make sure that wouldn't happen. From interrupting her events. You remember that day? He comes down, never done this before in 4 years. Comes down, just shows up in the White House press briefing room. Never did that in 4 years. Shows up in the White House press briefing room and just starts talking while she's literally about to go live at a big event. And the press all went to the president, obviously. Then he calls Trump supporters garbage. Steals the news cycle from her for an entire weekend. Steals it away from her as everybody goes out there and says, Joe Biden calls Trump supporters garbage. He did that on purpose. Because the parts of him that still worked in his brain were the parts of him that remembered him as being the guy who was in charge of Washington, the deep insider who was making lots and lots of money off the place. And he was going to be damn sure he's going to get to sit down on the beach in Delaware and tell people, you know what, if they kept me and I could have beat the SOB. I could have beat him. Nobody else could have beat him but me. I'm the only one. I'm the only one who ever did. And he to think about how he lies about the vote disparity. The fact that there were so many more votes cast in 2020 than 2024, and we were in the middle of a pandemic, and people were staying home. And where did all those votes go? He brings up 7 million less. Where did the votes go? This is why people think the 2020 election was so corrupt. That exact reason. So. Make no, the reason why this happens is because you have a guy right now, all these books are coming out, and you've got all these people in the media, like Chris Cillizza and others. Chris Cillizza from the Washington Post, who finally comes out, and CNN, he comes out and says, yeah, the media did cover this up. Of course they did. This wasn't a failure by the media to cover Joe Biden. This was a deliberate cover-up by the media. They were more than happy to look the other way. And more than happy to go out there and perpetuate the lies by the White House. And those people on The View were the prime offenders of that. Going out there every day and doing battle for Joe Biden to say that he was fine. And how mean we were. And how mean people were to suggest that he was losing his mind. The people, those clapping seals on The View, they were the leaders in that. Telling you that we were all making things up. So between and who owns The View? ABC, Disney, China. That's who owns The View. At ABC News, George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist, they never dug into this. They covered it up. This was not an issue of them not getting access to the White House or getting access to the president or getting access to the senior staff. This was a deliberate, coordinated cover-up between the legacy media, the White House, and people like the hosts on The View and Joe Scarborough and Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel and all the other people and George Clooney. And when Joe Biden said yesterday to the BBC they had a well-funded candidate, yeah, they did because they made sure all the checks cashed before he dropped out of the race. And then they had to do it in a way that they could transfer that money all over to Kamala Harris. But he points out that she was well-funded because he wants everybody to know he's the only one that ever could have beat Trump, the only one who ever did. And even though she had all the money and all the support, she couldn't do it. Nobody could do it but me. That's what he's saying there. That's what he's saying. And I told you this during the election. I kept saying to you, I kept telling you, this is a guy who wants to see her lose so he can have those bragging rights for the rest of his life. As he talks to his invisible friends on the beach. As he reminisces about days gone by with Harry Truman on the beach as they're building sandcastles. And he talks to former presidents like Jimmy Carter on the beach. And he's the only one that ever beat him. I'm the only one that ever could have. All right, we got more to come on our show today. It's a big show. We got an American Pope. How cool is that, huh? An American Pope, first Pope ever from the United States of America. It's a big deal. Villanova graduate. It's a great day to be an American. It is a big win for the United States of America. No doubt about that. And I got to get into this pet raccoon story with you. We're going to do that as well. We got more to come on the show today. But let me tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends over at Emmons. They're going to make sure that your home looks great and is insulated, ready to withstand the elements and beautiful curbside appeal. That's what you get with Emmons Roofing, and you also get a 10% off inflation relief discount from my friends at EmmonsRoofing.com. All you got to do is go there today. Matt and Stephanie are ready to serve you, ready to make your home look beautiful, and they've helped me for the past 10 years in two different homes. So the first house that we owned needed a new roof. They did the roof. Lifetime warranty on that roof with the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. We also had them remodel our bathroom. Yes, Emmons has a bathroom remodeling division. And in the new house, they have done such great work for us, replacing windows and doors, with more to come. And all you got to do is just go to emmonsroofing.com. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. If you've got a Jersey Shore house, make sure it's ready to withstand that summer heat and all the storms that come as well. Emmonsroofing.com. Make sure you tell them I sent you. Get that 10% off inflation relief discount. Emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I just want to mention, you know, the fact that the Pope went to Villanova, and if you've got any friends who went to Villanova, you're getting crushed. Yeah, I mean, it's brutal. And the memes out there are amazing. But if you're a LaSalle graduate, you should know that Pope Leo went 0-4 versus LaSalle during his time at Nova. So from 1974, 75, 76, and 77. So just, you know, that's some good news for you, I guess, if you're a LaSalle grad. But there's a meme out there that, so there's two, Matt, I sent you the one. Can you put it in the YouTube chat, the Villanova one? Can you put that up for me?
Yeah.
All right. So this one you see is probably my favorite today. I've gotten this like 18 times from different people. It is the NCAA 1985 championship, 2016 Final Four, 2018 Final Four, and then 2025 Pope. So you see that, the V, the Pope, College of the Cardinals, like they beat the College of the Cardinals and they won the papacy. So there's that. Can you see it on the screen? I don't have the YouTube up. Is it up there? Just say something. Say yes, say no, anything, Sean.
Sorry, I'm loading it up now. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right. Okay. So, just talk to me. That's all I'm saying. Just speak.
I'm doing something.
You don't have
I'm
to go
speaking.
Into silence. You're not a monk. You didn't take a vow of silence. Just explain. talk to me.
If I'm not speaking, it usually means I'm in the middle of something. And
Why can't you multitask like everybody else in America? You can't talk and do something at the same time?
Well, I'm usually typing, and I mute my microphone so that you don't hear my breathing over the air while you're, you know, in the middle of a monologue. So if you call for me and I'm doing something, it takes me a second to move my hands from my MacBook to the mixer to unmute the microphone.
Okay. Now, I don't know if I should put this up I'm going to put this up. I'm going to send this to you, and we'll put this up, okay? I don't know who made this. I wish I did. My buddy AJ sent this to me, and I wish I knew who made this, but just, I know it's going to take you a minute to get there. So tell me when you have it. Okay. Over the air, say it on the air. Gosh, you can load
I'll
that
just
in.
Leave my microphone up. If I mutter to myself, I apologize.
All right, fine. Mutter to yourself and mutter away.
Okay,
so obviously,
I don't think we can.
Come on. You don't think so?
All right, hang on. I'll
it's
send
funny.
It to Sean. It is funny.
It's funny. It's not offensive to the Pope. I mean, it's funny. I think anyway. It's just, look, the point is this. Villanova is an interesting claim to fame as a college in that it straddles two different counties. It straddles Montgomery County and Delaware County. So people from Monco claim it and people from Delco claim it. It's unique in that sense. I don't know how many people know that or not, but it straddles both counties, but it's an interesting part. You know, I think most people probably equate Villanova with Monco versus Delco. But if you're in Delco, you probably equate it with Delco. And anyway, last week there was an incident in Delco, which got a lot of news, a lot of attention. It was the Delco pooper, if you remember, the woman who went and relieved herself on a vehicle and then bragged about how clean it was. And she didn't even have to wipe. You remember that story? It was a big national story. It was a huge, huge story. So Delco had that going for it, and then do you have the picture? Can we put it up?
Yeah, Sean's loading it up right now.
Okay. So what they've done is they've done a side-by-side comparison of the pooper and the Pope, and they said, nice comeback, Delco. It's basically, you know, like, all right, Delco, you've redeemed yourself here. You know, you went for, yeah, look at that. So 1 week in Delco, from Pope Christina the First to Pope Leo the 14th. I don't know who made that. Huge comeback, Delco fam. Nice work. I don't know who made that. It's not offensive to the Pope, but it does elevate Delco a little bit. So it's a big change. And it shows you how quickly things change in our region and in our backyard. You know what I mean? So there you go. Did Road Warrior predict that meme? Well, he should have made it. I don't know who made it. I wish I could find out who did that. It's hysterical. But Delco girl did it? Kimmy, or are you a Delco girl? Is that what you're saying? You're a Delco girl or what? It's these memes are amazing how people come up with these things. They really are. That'll be everywhere soon enough, of course. But look at that. New Pope is American, is Delco. Is Delco going to claim him or what?
Yeah, I feel like they should.
I think Delco should claim him, you know? Or is Montgomery County going to claim him? Who's gonna claim the Pope, Delco or Monco? What do you think? There are so many friggin' memes,
sure.
Too. What's that?
They both probably will, I'm sure. But Delco needs him more. I feel like it's the only way you bounce back from the Delco defecator, is you have to have a Pope elected.
Yeah, you go from pooper to Pope in a week. It's pretty amazing. That's a big turnaround.
Yeah.
It's a big turnaround.
Big win.
The other one is that there's a meme of Pope Leo, it's XI and then the V for Villanova with the actual school logo. You know, the mascot, I mean, like the V with the thin blue stripe and the dark blue in the background with the shape. Pope Leo, the XIV. I mean, people, my friends who went to Villanova, this is just, they're going to be so annoyed. Just mute your phone. If you have any friends who are Nova graduates, just mute your phone. That's the best I can do for you. The best advice I can give you. Do you have the bells? They rang the bells today at Villanova to honor the Pope, who's a graduate of Villanova. Do you have them? Go ahead. Very nice. Very cool. I mean, look, it's great. It really is. It's very cool for our area. Villanova tweeting out, today we joyously celebrate the election of His Holiness Pope Leo the 14th, a moment of profound significance for the global church. A Villanova alumnus, Pope Leo the 14th is the first pope from the United States and the first Augustinian friar to be elected. And they have a link at Nova to... a big thing that they've done on the Pope. And obviously, I mean, this is huge for them. This is a big deal. First of all, nobody can ever say, I mean, really, nobody could say that the Pope went to their school. And nobody could ever say it before. Now you can. Now Villanova has that bragging right, which an American school may never have ever again. Think about that. This could be a one and done. Like, we get one American Pope and then it's over. So this could be something that they have bragging rights for the rest of their lives. On May 8th, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, OSA 77, CLAS, was elected the 267th head of the Catholic Church and the sovereign of the Vatican City State during his second day at the papal conclave. Held in the Sistine Chapel, he assumes the papacy under the name Pope Leo XIV. A Villanova University alumnus, Pope Leo XIV is the first pope from the United States and the first Augustinian friar to be elected pontiff. Quote, from Nova, as an Augustinian Catholic institution, we celebrate this significant day for our university community and the global church. Villanova, built on the teachings of St. Augustine, has always been grounded in advancing a deeper understanding of the fundamental relationship between faith and reason, between spirituality and wisdom, said University President Reverend Peter M. Donahue. With today's election of His Holiness Pope Leo XIV, I cannot help but reflect on what his Augustinian papacy will mean to our university community and our world. Known for his humility, gentle spirit, prudence, and warmth, Pope Leo XIV's leadership offers an opportunity to reaffirm our commitment to our educational mission. The selection of Pope Leo XIV by the College of Cardinals comes less than 2 years after, well, we know all that. Then I go into a little bit of his background. He received a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics in 1977 from Villanova and then a Master of Divinity from the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago in 1982, was ordained a priest the same year. This, by the way, is a big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Make sure you see him today for that beautiful smile you deserve. And you got to see a dentist. We are midway through the year almost, hard to believe. If you've not made a dentist appointment yet, what are you waiting for? 856-786 2020. Do that today. So there you go. It's a big deal for our neck of the woods. Delco has been redeemed. And now Montgomery County is just going to be saying, like, it's theirs, you know? Yeah, that's true. I mean, everybody's saying that. I went to the same school as the Pope. Yeah. Everybody's going to be turning around doing that. It's just, you know. Yeah, Joey Fay, our buddy, veteran, great guy, Marine. My brother-in-law is a Cabrini grad, and he texted everyone and said that he went to the same school as the Pope. I mean, it's just going to be. Mike, my buddy Neil went to Villanova. He hasn't shut up with the memes all day today. So.
By the way, just out of, I was just curious. I looked up the odds for which team is favored to win the NCAA championship in 2026 for basketball. Villanova plus 6,000 right now. If you believe in divine intervention, I feel like you got to put a few bucks on Nova while you still can.
I agree. And I also think now's the perfect time for them to change the mascot because Wildcats, you got to go Popes. Villanova Popes. Don't you think?
Yeah, or like, I don't.
The Villanova video, Cardinals. You got to do so. If you don't mark this by changing it from Wildcats to something around the papacy, that's just a lost opportunity there. Wildcat could be anything. Anybody can have a Wildcat. Nobody can have a Pope. Any school can have a Wildcat. It can't have a Pope. You realize that, right?
I agree with you. I think they should switch it to the Pigeon, because when they released that white smoke, there were a bunch of...
No, stop it.
The Pigeon's cool. The Pigeon's cool.
You got to go either where the Villanova Popes, the Villanova Cardinals. You got to do something like that. You know, yeah, you could see Villanova Crusaders, but that might make people queasy. That may not pass the smell test.
I don't think you can do that one.
Probably not that.
Pigeons.
Pigeons are stupid. Lots of colleges can have pigeons, Matt DeSantis, but only one college can claim to have a Pope.
Well, so there, I think the Pigeon's a good mascot. I don't know what to tell you.
Nobody cares what you think, by the way. Oh, did somebody on the YouTube chat say it should be the Popes? Let's do that. Let's do a Twitter poll. We haven't done a Twitter poll in a while.
Yeah, we can do a poll.
All right. Should Villanova change its name to, you could add Pigeons for your own little fun, to from the Wildcats to A, the Popes, B, the Cardinals, C, the Pigeons. I'll give you that, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
And it's not going to win. You realize that, right?
I think it's got a good shot. It's
all right, so should Villanova change its mascot from the Wildcats to the Popes, the Cardinals, or the Pigeons? And then give a D for no, so like it just keeps the Wildcats. Can we do that?
That's fair. Yep, I'm putting it up right now.
All right, excellent. And go to Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Make sure you follow it while you're there. R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I, Rich Zeoli, and you can vote on our poll, all right? Somebody else sent me, it's going to be a new show. The American Pope, born in Chicago, schooled in Philly. He's got street cred. The 267th Pope knows the 267 area code. Very good. That was from Lee Pravorsky. Oh, by the way, shout out to my buddy Joe Adams. He's a grandpa. Again, baby girl by his daughter. And the girl's name, little baby, is Sophia Quinn Adams. Congratulations, Joe. Wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful picture. So my daughter's getting her first communion on Saturday, so that's really cool. Italian pigeons, otherwise known as seagulls. Very good. So what do we think? You guys can weigh in on the YouTube chat, too, if you think it should be. Tuna Fang predicted Father Guido Sarducci would be the next pope. Well, don't worry. As I interpret the pope, I will give you Father Guido Sarducci, no doubt about it. Just not today. Yeah, does he like? That's a great question, though. Since he was born, is he a Chicago deep dish pizza pope, or is he going to be a Philly bar pie, Trenton pie, like, you know, the kind of pizza we eat, pizza. Not that casserole, fugazi, deep dish nonsense that they pretend is pizza out there. These are the questions I want to ask the pope. I want to ask him that. Would you go bar pie? Or do you like the disgusting casserole thing that they call it out there in Chicago? Would you go Chicago hot dog or Philly cheesesteak or Delco cheesesteak for that matter? When I say Philly cheesesteak, I obviously am referring to our region, because you get great cheesesteaks in Delco and Monco and, I mean, everywhere. Jersey, I mean, there's great cheese, but you can't get great cheesesteaks in Chicago. I don't want to hear it. If you know a place, I don't care. Don't even bother telling me. But that's what I want to know. Your Holiness, if you had to choose Chicago hot dog, Philly cheesesteak, that's the question I have for you. If you had to choose, Your Holiness, you go in Chicago, deep dish nonsense, fugazi casserole, or you go in thin, crispy, delicious, Philly area, Jersey area, tomato style pies. What are we doing here? These are the questions I have for the Pope. So you may have other questions for the Pope. I don't know what to tell you. All right, quick break. Coming right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.